If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Welcome aboard, people. Fasten your seatbelts. If you've missed any part of today's show, you know those of you who have been listening for coming up on a full 15 years are probably tired of hearing this. But, you know, we always have new stations joining us. We have new listeners joining us. So I am obligated to do a little housekeeping. So listen once again. If you've missed any part of today's show, in a couple of days, you will find the entire show podcast at travelers411.com. You can download it over the next year. After a year after broadcast, it disappears. We set it up that way. That's the royal we. I have nothing to do with it. It's my genius tech team, because we figure if you haven't downloaded it in a year, are you ever going to? However, we simultaneously archive the audio, and it is linked in, I don't know, 8 to 10 different references. It's cross-referenced online, so when you go in the show notes, you'll see a link to the archived audio. The difference is you can listen to it, you can't download it. But a major difference, it'll stay forever. So we have archived audio going back to July 2002 when we first went on the air. How about that? And you'll find it cross-referenced in forums. So if you go to travelers411.com, the interactive side of our family of websites, click on forums. And then you can, by country, by state, by city, by province, by whatever, by special interest, you can click on, find what you're looking for, and again, you're going to see links to the relevant websites of our guests, the archived audio, photo albums that have been created online, either by them alone, if we've never been there, or by them and by us, if we have visited. And make sure you go into member photos. You'll find it on the navigation bar at travelers411.com. And that's where our guests upload photos of their venue, their destination, their whatever attraction, whatever it is they have to offer. And today we are going off to talk about a place that I so enjoy going to because it's just a couple of miles down the road from our studio in the heart of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. They're also in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And the place we're going to go off to was the home of Herman Melville, who you may remember from Moby Dick fame and other books and stories that he wrote. His home is called Arrowhead. And I have to first tell you a hilarious story, because we're very lucky to have Will Garrison, who's the executive director of the Berkshire County Historical Society at Arrowhead, in our studio with us. It's a blessing because they're only down the road a few miles, so it's easy for them to get here. And here is the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. So if you're going to fly in, you have choices. Boston, Hartford Bradley Airport, Boston's Logan Airport. You can fly into Albany. Those are each, well, Boston's 2 hours, Hartford's about an hour and 15 minutes, Albany's about an hour, and you're in Berkshire County. And, of course, you could fly into Newark or JFK or LaGuardia, for that matter. And it'll take you a little longer. From the airports, it'll take you about 3 hours. From New York City, it's 2.5 hours. You might want to hop on Amtrak if you're in Manhattan or anywhere in Hudson Valley, and you can just hop on Amtrak and head north. And you can sort out an auto rental with Enterprise Car Rental. They'll meet you at the Albany Rensselaer train station. And then you have a gorgeous drive for about an hour into Berkshire County. So I have to tell you this funny story real quick. We were in Dublin at my favorite Dublin area movie theater, which is in the Dundrum, D-U-N-D-R-U-M, the Dundrum Mall. It's actually not in the mall. It's attached to the mall, and you can't get into the theater from inside the mall. Great mall, by the way. Great mall. And you go out the door of the mall, make a right turn for about 70 feet, and there's this 10 or 12-plex movie theater. State-of-the-art. Lovely. So the film, In the Heart of the Sea, was playing. And the film was about not Moby Dick. It wasn't a remake of the story of Moby Dick. It was more the telling of the story of the writing of Moby Dick. So the story is in a constant series of flashbacks, because Herman Melville goes to meet a guy who's now an older gentleman who, when he was a teenager, was on the ship that was being chased by the great white whale. And he's retelling the story of what it was like to be a crew member and a teenager. I mean, he's like 14, 15 years old, something like that, on this ship. So they keep flashing back from the story of the past as being told by this older gentleman now, and him sitting there with the character, the actor who's playing Herman Melville, learning about all this stuff that actually went on somewhere. And at first, Melville is talking about writing a kind of bio story, you know, something that's based on real whatever, more in the form of a memoir of this fellow, his memories of what it was like and this business with the whale. By the time you get to the end of the film, the fellow who's telling the story is a little embarrassed by some of the things that went on that ship. And he's nervous about it being told as a true story, because the people he's talking about that participated in some not so wonderful deeds that he doesn't want remembered are still alive. And this could be embarrassing. So at the very end of the film, the Melville character says, "No, you know what? I've decided I'm writing it as a novel. It'll all be fictionalized. Everybody's tracks will be covered. You don't have to worry about it. It'll be good." So the man, the older gentleman who used to be the seaman, says to the Melville character, "So what are you going to do now?" And Melville says, "I'm going to Pittsfield." And this is the very end of the film, just before the credits come on. And I took my right hand, made a fist out of it, bent at the elbow, and plunged my hand into the air and said, "Yes!" Now, I'm in a theater with a bunch of Irishmen. They have no clue who's this crazy person. Obviously American, who is a nut job, screaming yes. And as we were getting up to go, the people sitting next to us said to me, "What was that about?" And I said, because my studio, nobody in this theater even knows what Pittsfield is. My studio is in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Melville's home, Arrowhead, is in Pittsfield, Massachusetts on Holmes Road. And that's H-O-L-M-E-S, like Oliver Wendell. And it's just down the road a piece from my office, from my broadcast studio. So, I mean, you know, how often does that happen? When you're on the other side of the ocean. We're going to listen to a couple of really important messages, and then we're going to come back and talk with Will Garrison, who is the executive director, at the Berkshire County Historical Society at Arrowhead here in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Go watch that movie again. And when you get to the end and he says he's going to Pittsfield, you two yell yes, because you know where it is. Don't leave me. This is Stephanie Abrams.
Stephanie Abrams travel shows are brought to you in part by the Boston Symphony Orchestra, inviting you to E.T. in concert at Symphony Hall in Boston, Friday and Saturday, May 12th and 13th at 8 p.m. Relive the magic of Steven Spielberg's great family adventure, E.T., performed live by the Boston Pops while the movie plays on the silver screen. Get tickets at 888-266-1200 or at bso.org.
Remember what you said. You promised me, you said you would. You gotta give in, so I'll be good. Tell me a story, then I'll go to bed.
Oh, worry, worry, weary ends my day. Comes the time to go home without my raise and pay. Home by the fire where a man can just relax. Slippers there by the chair. Not a worry, not a care. Along comes Junior swinging his little axe.
Tell me a story, tell me a story, tell me a story, remember what you said. Tell me about the bird and bees, how do you make a chicken sneeze? Tell me a story, then I'll go to bed.
Came home so late one evening last July. Played a little poker, the time had passed me by. Shoes in my hand and my darling wife in bed.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abrams. The lives of ordinary people are ensnared in a web of intrigue, and it all starts with rumors. The story is fast-paced and draws the reader into the characters' experiences as secrets, lies, and conspiracies grow from rumors and create chaos in a quiet suburban community. Rumors, your perfect leisure time companion.
Rumors by Stephanie Abrams. Visit sabrams.com/rumors.
Have you been to Serendipity 3? Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Serendipity 3, located at 225 East 60th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues in New York City, offers their signature frozen hot chocolate and hot fudge sundaes. Yum. Hungry? Have a yummy brunch, lunch, pre- and post-theater dinners and munchables in an atmosphere designed to make the best memories. The haunt of celebrities and people in the know for over five decades. Serendipity 3 is open Sunday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to midnight and Saturdays until 1 a.m. A New York City visit is incomplete without a stop at Serendipity 3. Before you leave there, pick up a copy of my novel Rumors from their darling gift shop. Visit serendipity3.com for menus and details.
Get your tickets now for a very special Boston Pops season at Symphony Hall. Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops present a season-long tribute to the legendary John Williams with 10 concerts featuring his film scores from E.T., Jaws, Raiders, Star Wars, Harry Potter, and more. And it's a season filled with exciting debuts beginning opening night May 10th with special guest Queen Latifah. America's Orchestra, the Boston Pops, has your table waiting. Call 888-266-1200 or visit bostonpops.org. Sponsored by Fidelity Investments.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick, no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 1-800-814-5035.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Biz Talk Radio.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you in part by Tourism Ireland.
This is Stephanie Abrams introducing you to Ireland's ancient East, where you'll immerse yourself in enchanted sights reflecting over 5,000 years of history. Jump into Ireland and engage in personal experiences at sites with history from the dawn of civilization. Ireland's ancient East awaits you. Start planning at ireland.com.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to have Will Garrison in the studio with us. He is the executive director of the Berkshire County Historical Society at Arrowhead, located in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, the heart of the heart of Berkshire County. It's almost if you drew a target over Berkshire County and you aim for the bullseye, you'd hit Pittsfield. And Arrowhead is what, Will?
Well, Arrowhead is many things. Of course, it's a beautiful place. I know, speaking personally, that every morning when I drive in there and look over at Mount Greylock on one side across the beautiful North Field and Arrowhead, the house itself on my left, is like, this is a great place to be on a morning in the Berkshires. It's funny you mentioned the movie In the Heart of the Sea, because we tell that story of the ship, the Essex, which was sunk by a ship, sperm whale in 1820. And of course, Herman Melville.
That was as big as a ship.
It was. It was a big whale, and a very aggravated whale. So, as we always say, score one for the whales. But so it sunk the Essex in 1820, and of course, when we heard that Ron Howard was making this movie, we were quite excited, and we tried to get him to do some of the filming at Arrowhead, but it didn't work, or we didn't talk to the right people.
You know, that's a pity, because you'd think if you're making a film. About Herman Melville, if you think, I mean, they could have easily panned out at the end when, what's his face, the actor, whoever it was, I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
The actor who portrayed Melville says, I'm going to Pittsfield. They could have shown some kind of coach and horse-drawn coach or him on a horse, or I don't know how he, you know, went from one place to another. I don't think the train was in yet.
No, there was a train.
Was there? Yep. Well, however he traveled, they could have faded out at, you know.
Sure.
Or they could have started at Arrowhead and him deciding, you know, let me go into Boston and meet this guy.
I know. Would have been great.
It really would
have. Yeah, but the movie didn't do that well, so in the end, I guess we weren't out too much. But
well, you never know.
You never know.
Well,
you
I want to say the kind of people. I mean, and you know, that's kind of a weird way to look at who goes to see a film. But, you know, there are some people that if there isn't a car chase and people shooting each other, it's not a film that they're going to go see.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I don't know that the film necessarily had mass appeal. But the people it would appeal to are the same people who would say, gee, I'd love to go and see Herman Melville's home. Especially when you recognize it's in Berkshire County, and this isn't a, like, you know, go all the way out on a peninsula to see a rock.
Right.
You know, there's plenty to do here that's all historically and architecturally and artistically and culturally amazing. So once you're here, you know, you'll leave frustrated because you didn't stay enough time to see and do everything there is to see and do, including all the gorgeous stuff like Wacona Falls and... The marble, the natural bridge that made of marble, and you know all the the sights from the hairpin turn up in, where is that, Clarksburg? Yeah, I think it's Clarksburg. But if you stand there and you're looking at the mountains in Vermont and you're looking over, you know, Adams and North Adams and, you know, the towns in the valley, and it's just, it's glorious.
It is. And then we have a handout we have at Arrowhead, which is the Melville Trail. So just seeing the things on the Melville Trail, Mount Greylock, which, of course, was critical to Herman Melville. He was inspired by the view that he had out of his study window at Arrowhead, looking due north at Mount Greylock. Just one quick thing about Ireland, you mentioned in your story, is that apparently some scenes from the 1956 movie Moby Dick with Gregory Peck were filmed off the coast of Ireland. And there's a small town there that every year has a Moby Dick festival.
Who, do you know the town?
I've forgotten the name.
Now,
one of my volunteers has been to it. She goes to Ireland quite frequently. And she told me about, brought back pictures. There's the Moby Dick pub, and there's the all the school kids carrying cutouts of Moby Dick in this parade. So it's funny. Yeah,
and you don't know even which coast.
I don't.
Because you've got, I don't,
yeah,
you've got four coastlines there.
Yeah,
you know?
right.
North, so south, east, and west.
So it's a challenge there to find the name of the town. I guess
okay.
It's a small town. So
can you hear me rattling around here?
Yeah.
All right, I'm into my purse.
Uh-oh.
You know, listen, there are two things I never go anywhere without. One, let me see if I have it here. One is a map of Ireland. You see
okay,
that?
Yep.
Okay. Wrinkle. You hear the map? There it is. Okay. One's my map of Ireland. But look what I happen to have in my purse. Let me open the paper. These are films that were made at the Cliffs of Moher. So let's see if it's on the wit list. The Yank in 2013.
Guess where it is.
Where?
Yall.
They filmed it in Yall? Off the Cliffs of Yall. How about that? Yall is in County Cork. Yall is an easy reach from Dublin. If you happen to go visit the Dingle Peninsula, you're already in Kerry, and you just go a little eastward. And in Yall, by the way, you want to go to Ahern's, A-H-E-A-R-N-S, Ahern's Seafood Restaurant. The locals just refer to it as Ahern's. Make sure you have the seafood chowder while you're there. Yall is where Sir Walter Raleigh, Sir Walter Raleigh, had a 40,000, I don't know if it's 40,000 acres or 40,000 hectares. A hectare is like 2.5 acres or something close to that. If it's not 2.5, it's 2.25 or something like that. But I think it was acres. And he was the one, Sir Walter Raleigh, on this plantation that he owned in Yall. And Yall is Y-O-U-G-H-A-L. In Yall, he introduced the potato to Ireland. Hmm. And he planted a good part of his acreage with potatoes, which was particularly aggravating because potatoes became an important crop. And while there were people in the starvation, they call it the famine, but there was actually food. They just weren't sharing it, so they starved people to death. During the starvation, something like 60,000 tons or 60,000 pounds, it must have been 60,000 pounds, of potatoes were shipped from Ireland to Great Britain, which is now referred to as the UK. So there was food. Also, grain. You could have gone to the port of Yall, where they apparently filmed this 1950s Moby Dick film. You could have gone to the port of Yall and watched Irish-grown oats and grains and potatoes being shipped out to Great Britain while people on the west coast of Ireland were starving to death. Just don't get me into that. It's a terrible story. Terrible story. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back. I'm going to check this list and see if there's anything else here. Guns and Navarone, Ryan's Daughter, Macintosh Man, Princess Bride, Hear My Song, Into the West, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Burke and Hare, Blind Pass, and The Yank were all filmed at least in part, if not all, at the Cliffs of Moher on the west coast of Ireland. But how about that? Moby Dick and y'all. We'll be right back, people. There's always an Irish connection, isn't there? Stephanie Abrams, Don't Leave Me. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Immerse yourself in everything that interests you in Dublin, Ireland, from music to art, dance, architecture, history, literature, or maybe relax at a spa, take a golf lesson, or a cooking class by the side of the sea. In Dublin, you'll find unique hotels, even authentic castle hotels, conveniently located close to theaters, concerts, shopping, attractions, and great restaurants. Don't miss the Book of Kells exhibit at Trinity College, the dramatic tour at Dalkey Castle, the quaint fishing village of Hoat, the elegantly furnished historic Malahide Castle, and the luxurious Powers Court Garden. Gardens and house, where you'll find the mesmerizing Powers Court Falls and the 700-foot-long Palladian-style Rustboro House, are all located in a tight circle around County Dublin and adjacent County Wicklow. And we've only scratched the surface of Ireland's east. There are more flights to Ireland with the most competitive fares, so visit your travel agent and Ireland.com.
Have you heard about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching Biz TV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, Biz TV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. Biz TV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request Biz TV.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
Today's show is brought to you by Malta, where Mediterranean walled cities, Baroque towns, sleepy villages, and bustling fishing ports provide visitors with an abundance of unique experiences, charming cafes, nightlife, clubs, restaurants, and glorious pastry shops that remind travelers of Baroque living. For details, go to visitmalta.com.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to have with me Will Garrison. He's the executive director of the Berkshire County Historical Society at Arrowhead, Arrowhead being the home of Herman Melville. Before we get into Melville and his story, let's talk about you a little bit, Will. How long have you been the executive director at Arrowhead?
I've been the executive director a couple of years. This is my sixth season, though, because I started off as the curator at Arrowhead. And then a couple years ago, I was promoted, I guess you could say, to executive director.
Well, that was a good thing.
It was a good thing.
I don't ever remember meeting you. Did we ever meet?
I'm not sure. Before this,
I was working too hard.
I guess working too hard.
Because curators are always behind the scenes.
Yeah, they're in the back in the storage rooms. Yeah, and before that, it was 10 years with the Trustees of Reservations in Stockbridge.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
And they oversee, Nomcake?
Nomcake, Mission House, yep.
And up in Savoy, isn't there something up there?
No, not in Savoy.
Is it Windsor?
In Windsor, there's Notchview.
Right. That's what I was thinking of. It's next to Savoy.
Yeah, all wonderful places.
Yeah, these are all places in Massachusetts. There is so much. Listen, people. Listen up. Don't tell anybody I said this because it's going to tick off some people. But the fact of the matter is that most of the promotions that are done for Massachusetts by organizations I will allow to be nameless that are agencies of government and otherwise focus on Boston, the Cape, Cape Cod area, and north of Boston up in like Salem and Newburyport and they're beautiful places. But I believe, with some evidence to back it up, that Berkshire County is really underpromoted. So I pick up the slack as a gift of love to my friends and neighbors in this county because there is so much here that you'd normally go to a metropolis to find. And yet it's nestled in the most beautiful country, mountainous surroundings. It's like, can you believe there's over 30 Renoir paintings at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts? And when you're there, you look around and you're just surrounded by Williams College campus and a lot of mountains in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere, you have the Degas Ballerina. There are only, I think, 12 in the world. One is in the Baltimore Museum of Fine Arts. One used to be in the Jeu de Paume in Paris, and they closed it for renovation. The Jeu de Paume was the handball court of King somebody, one of the Louis. And, it's this rectangular, two-story high building, and there were all kinds of good stuff there, and including the Degas Ballerina. Then they closed it. I don't know if they reopened it. I don't know if they moved the Degas Ballerina to the Louvre or, where it is, but it's somewhere in Paris. And we've got one. So one's in Baltimore, one's in Paris. These are big cities, people. And we've got one here in a county whose residential population is 135,000 people, for heaven's sakes. But we get a lot of people who come to visit, and with good reason.
Yeah, but I would say, yeah, at least over 5,000 of them come to Arrowhead, which is not always easy to find. It's on Holmes Road, like you said.
Well, let me tell you, listen, people, Route 7 is a north, there are two north-south routes in Berkshire County, Route 7 and Route 8. And there's this, like, mountainous thing in between the two. And there's only a couple of crossovers between Route 7 and Route 8. So get on one. Either one of them is going to take you up to Vermont. And the funny thing is, I know somebody who lives off of Route 8 in Vermont. And, you know, with the extension that goes up into Vermont. And if you're on Route 7, it turns into, I think, Route 2 or something. Or maybe it continues at Route 7. I don't really remember because my husband's always doing the driving. But if you go up on Route 7, it'll take you an hour to get to her, even though you're on the other side of the mountain, because there's no road.
Right.
So you got to make sure you're on the right, you know, the road for where you ultimately want to end up, or you'll add an hour to your trip. But Route 7 is a major road. And it's only, you know, it's a country road. But it's a, if you were in Ireland, it would be an N road, a national road. And basically, in most places, it's one lane in each direction. Some places, it's two lanes in each direction. But as you get into Pittsfield, going north out of Lenox, Stockbridge area, it's like that first traffic light. You can't miss Holmes Road.
A couple miles down the road.
There's a traffic signal at Holmes Road.
Right.
Yeah. So you make a right turn.
Yeah.
And you'll be there in 2 minutes.
Yeah, a couple miles down, and there's a National Historic Landmark where one of the greatest novels in American literature was written. It's just, like you say, it's amazing what's here in Berkshire County.
So how long did Melville live in Arrowhead?
He moved in September 1850. He bought it sort of on a whim. He couldn't really afford it. I guess that's real estate.
That's true of most homeowners. You close your eyes and pray you're not going to lose it after you buy it.
Right. And that first winter there, he finished up Moby Dick. But to answer your question, he and his family left in 1863, returned to New York City, where he was from, and worked for 20 years as an inspector in the port of New York. Published very little after leaving the Berkshires.
Well, life is different.
Yeah.
Life is different when you live in a big city. It's more stressful. It's more demanding. It's just different. Yeah. And there are so many artists, authors, composers, musicians who lived, if not all year, at least summers in Berkshire County, because it is one of those inspirational places. Did you ever go to Lord Byron's home in England?
No, I haven't.
Well, he was clearly very well to do, and his home is gorgeous. Can't remember the name of the home. Somebody check it out for me, please. Lord Byron's home in England, where it is and what its name is. And he was a philanderer. His wife was pregnant. He was busy making babies elsewhere. I mean, you know, the guy was very busy. That's all he had time to do, because, you know, he didn't have to worry about plowing the back 40 or, you know. And the grounds of that home are, like Arrowhead, gorgeous. Of course, these are manicured and, you know, English elite, you know, baronial style, as opposed to Arrowhead being a very livable house.
Newstead Abbey.
What is it?
Newstead
Abbey. There you go. Where is it? What's the name of the town?
In Nottinghamshire.
In Nottinghamshire. Okay. So the grounds are gorgeous and serene and tranquil, and the house is beautiful, and they had servants, and when I visited the house, I said, you know, if you had the money, the wealth to live in this lifestyle and have nothing to do but mess around with other people's women, being a married person himself with family and more on the way, you too could write poetry. Because what else do you have to do? I mean, if you just sat down and looked around at your surroundings and described what was there, it would be a poem. I mean, you'd have no choice but for it to come out in poetic form. So there is something to be said about people needing to be in the kind of environment that brings them into what I always refer to as the zone. where creativity bubbles through your pores.
Right. And Melville's obviously did that by you're working in his study there with, you could lock the door and looking out at Mount Greylock. But then there was real life on the other side
of
the door.
Is that Mount Greylock? I always thought he was looking out at October Mountain.
No, Mount Greylock. October Mountain, which he named, by the way, is to the south. In fact, it's obscured by trees now.
I didn't know he named October Mountain.
Yeah.
So, and do you know the reason it's called October Mountain?
Well, because it's so beautiful foliage in October.
That's it.
Yeah.
That mountain comes to life. Well,
it's
all of Berkshire County
now.
Comes to life in October in a way that you have never seen anywhere. Because we have, while trees in Connecticut and New York and Vermont and elsewhere, you know, they get pretty foliage too. It's nothing like Berkshire County, which is spectacular because for some wonderful reason, God saw fit to give us the greatest variety of trees. So we have this amazing, it looks like, you know, when you're at the right time of the afternoon, when the sun is setting, when it hits the mountains at just the right angle, it looks like you're looking into somebody's wood-burning fireplace and the mountains are on fire. They are just a blaze of shades of yellow and gold and red and crimson. And it's just, October, special time in the Berkshires. But when isn't? We'll be right back. This is Stephanie Abrams, Don Avery.
Beyond the stars, it's near beyond the moon.
It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Take your next trip outside big city limits and see more of what New York has to offer. A world of natural beauty, culture, wineries, charming historic towns, outdoor adventure, and delicious locally sourced cuisine await you when you board your Amtrak train in New York City or anywhere along the Hudson Valley route to Albany and beyond, where a wealth of natural wonders await you. Choose from several Amtrak routes that reach all corners of New York State. Take in the beauty of Niagara Falls and Lake Placid or head for Montreal, all while taking advantage of your 15% savings. While enjoying spacious seats, easy boarding, and free Wi-Fi. That's the comfort and convenience of traveling with Amtrak. After you book and save 15% on your next trip, visit NewYorkByRail.com for additional destination information to plan activities for your visit. Plan your Amtrak 15% savings getaway today. Restrictions and blackout dates apply. For details, visit Amtrak.com.
Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, announces tickets for the upcoming season are now on sale. Maestro Andras Nelsons and world-famous guest conductors will lead the BSO in the music of Mozart, Ravel, Tchaikovsky, Schubert, Berlioz, and more. Conductor Nelsons will lead the BSO in 10 Tanglewood concerts, including opening night July 7th, as the orchestra presents Mahler's Symphony No. 2, Resurrection. Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops will also highlight Tanglewood's opening and closing weekends with Sondheim on Sondheim and E.T. the Extraterrestrial in concert. And don't miss the Tanglewood Popular Artist Series, beginning with Natalie Merchant in July. Bring your family and friends to one of the most beloved music festivals in the world this summer at Tanglewood. Order your tickets now. Call 888-266-1200, 888-266-1200. Or visit tanglewood.org.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute, free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to be in the presence of Will Garrison in our studio in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which is in Berkshire County. Will, if you're just joining us, is the executive director of the Berkshire County Historical Society at Arrowhead, Arrowhead being the home of Herman Melville. What else did Melville write besides? I mean, he's most well known for Moby Dick, but what else did he do? Well, he wasn't a one-book man.
No, in fact, his first two books, which were written shortly after he returned from a several-year voyage on whaling ships and a U.S. Navy ship in the Pacific, soon after he got back, he wrote a book called Typee and followed that up with Omu, and both were very popular. They're fictionalized accounts of his time in the South Pacific, Typee being a tribe of cannibals on an island that he and a friend visited. So those books, like I say, were very, very popular.
How do you spell
Typee? T-Y-P-E-E. And those books are quite popular, and he was sort of like a young rock star author. He was off to a great start being a writer. And then he followed up with a book called Mardi, which was more of a psychological book and didn't do so well. And then when he moved to the Berkshires and purchased Arrowhead, he was writing Moby Dick. And he had high hopes for Moby Dick.
And I've been to Arrowhead dozens and dozens of times because anytime we have visitors come, we make a point of bringing them by.
Oh, thank you.
When you go upstairs into Melville's bedroom, there's a desk. It wasn't really his desk, but it's a desk of the period furniture that would have been right in front of the window with a pair of spectacles on the desk.
Yeah.
And so you really, get into the groove of, golly, this is where he sat and wrote, looking out this window.
I know when I give tours there, and it's been a 45-minute tour, and you end up, and the last stop is the study, and I always try to remember to just be quiet for a minute because so many people come there, and they just want to feel that spirit because in that space was created that amazing book. And he did write some... Moby Dick, and then he did write some short stories, like Bartleby the Scrivener and The Piazza and other short stories, and a book called Confidence Man and a book called Pierre. I'm not a Melville scholar, and of course they're amazing works of art, but they did not do very well financially, and that was part of the reason in 1853 he and his wife Lizzie and their four children moved back to New York City.
How is it that it just seems like more than a coincidence somehow to me that Nathaniel Hawthorne moved in a quarter of a mile away down the road somewhere.
Yeah, that's an amazing story that, you know, he and Herman Melville and Nathaniel Hawthorne became close friends for a couple of years. And we were talking about trustees of reservations properties a few minutes ago. And they also own Monument Mountain, which is this wonderful small mountain between Stockbridge and Great Barrington along Route 7, as many things are.
It's a good road, people.
It's a good road.
It's a good road.
And mutual friends of theirs thought, you know, these two writers should meet. And they met that day on Monument Mountain and just formed this immediate friendship. And some scholars think that in talking to Nathaniel Hawthorne, who was an older, more established writer at that time, and they had good, but they could talk the same language, so to speak, that led to Melville rethinking what he was writing in Moby Dick. Because it had been sort of more of a straightforward tale about whaling. But after that, and through that following winter, 1850 to 51, he created that amazing psychological, you know, book.
But you know, when you really don't gloss over the concept, here is this man in this very nice wooden house, writing by candlelight. If, you know, especially in the winter, I mean, by 5 o'clock it's dark.
Yeah, in fact, his family made him stop at 3 o'clock because it was getting too dark in that room. Yeah.
Right. Dipping his pen in the inkwell. I mean, you know, this is not, let me do some word processing something and I can delete this paragraph, I can move this up, I can move this down.
Right.
This handwritten thing where you got to dip the pen in the inkwell. I mean, this is a bit more of a challenge than writing today.
It is a big challenge. And we always, in our tours of the house, we always want to give a shout out to his wife, Lizzie, and his sister, Augusta, and others. Because while he was up in the study, you know, writing, you know, these amazing words, every day or two they would get a sheaf of papers and they would have to copy it over because his handwriting was terrible. And the the publishers in New York City didn't want to see his handwriting. So they were down there creating a fair copy. So it was a family effort in many ways.
Was it his sister? I'm trying to remember what the exact quote was because I often put it on Christmas cards. I think it was his sister who wrote to him and wished him happiness at this bright and shiny season or bright and happy season. I forgot. I think it was bright and shiny season.
Bright and shiny season.
Yeah, and I really like that phrase. So I throw that onto all my holiday cards that go out wishing you happiness at this bright and shiny season.
It could have been Augusta. It was a great family of letter writers because, you know,
there was no email.
That's right. So they wrote a lot of letters, many of which are saved and the basis of many, many biographies of Herman Melville. So the 5,000 visitors who come each year to the Arrowhead, which is a National Historic Landmark, you know, they learn about not only Herman Melville and his backstory, how did he end up in the Berkshires? How did he happen to write these books about the sea and whaling? Well, he was a whaler himself as a young man.
How many rooms are in the house?
We have five on view, and I would say it's a pretty big house. I would say there are 12, 15 rooms total.
Yeah.
Kind of storerooms, because, again, we have to have a storage space for the Historical Society's collection and offices,
that
sort of thing.
But then there's that kind of add-on section, and then there's that Barney kind of a building.
Right, yeah, it's kind of the big addition. And then there's the original barn, beautiful New England red barn that was there when Herman Melville moved there, because he was going to be a farmer, and he did do a little farming. But it's a wonderful timber frame barn, and it's our visitor center, gift shop, restrooms, all those good things.
Well, I hope that my listeners who are planning spring, summer, fall breakaways find their way to Arrowhead. And the website is?
MobyDick.org.
Love it.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for being with us this hour. We have another hour to go on the other side of the top of the hour news. So stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back after the news. This is Stephanie Abrams, and we're flying high.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.